Good morning, everyone. Lots going on as usual. And as usual, I'll remind you, join the mailing list. I'm supposed to send it out Monday mornings, and I did not do my usual. I didn't do it. I haven't done it. I haven't started it. Usually I start it before now. Usually it's like halfway done. I forgot it was Monday, actually, to be quite honest with you. So happy Labor Day, and sorry for my brain fart, but you should join the mailing list anyway, despite my deficiencies. And yesterday we did have a kitchen table talk, and it was wonderful. It was quite good. There were some people who started yelling, and then Zoom worked great. I was able to boot them without any kind of real hiccup, and we carried on. So it was a good conversation. I forgot to start the stream. I remembered like halfway through, I was like, oh no, I forgot to start the stream. So I'm just a human guy, right? I'm just a regular person, really, who I like to do a show like this, and I like to talk to real people because I think that that is actually more reflective of what's going on in our community. So that's why I do that, or what, that's why I do this. Anyway, and sometimes I mess up and sometimes I run out of time. Anyway, if you want to join in on the occasional mess ups and occasional running out of time, then sign up here and on CanadaPoly.com. You can also support the show by buying a monthly subscription or merch if that's your thing. The That's Interesting mug and my shirt and things like that. I should probably start doing more shirts and things, but it's there. You can also check out the forums. That's free. And at CanadaPoly.com. Okay, I told you I would stay on this Truckee thing, and it generated a brainwave. I don't know if it'll work because Canadians are a little bit. I don't know how to. We're compliant. We like to be polite. We actually say sorry to people on the street who we don't know, who we bump into on purpose. And like, there was a study done. It was by CTV News back when it was probably 2006 when I was watching this. It was years ago. And there was this study done saying, do Canadians, you know, walk into each other on purpose in order to say sorry? And the conclusion was yes. And I was like, wow, Canadians are so crazy. So Canadians, I don't know if this will work, but here is what the Truckees are doing in Australia. And this has been completely scrubbed off social media. Now, what I was expecting when I heard about the Truckee strike was that they were going to shut down the roads. No, they just parked their trucks along the side of the roads to be visible and to not deliver any goods whatsoever to anywhere. They're on strike, right? And they're taking back their country. They're taking back their governance, I suppose. And I'll show you what the fruits of their labor have been. But this would be unnerving to me. Going into a grocery store and seeing this. I sent this to a friend of mine, and last night before bed, they sent me back, that's what no frills look like tonight. And I was like, don't tell me that, man. I went to Walmart yesterday, it didn't look like this, but don't tell me that.
Everything is empty, literally empty. Hey, why is everything empty?
This is going in the supplier, and that's how we don't get any more of that.
Oh, he's a line supply.
Yeah, we're still waiting, I don't know. It's all
together. Wow. That's crazy, man. Everything is gone. Nothing. Their trucks aren't coming in.
So the suppliers, they're waiting on the delivery from the supplier. I wonder where the trucks could be. Where could the trucks be? Are they just blocked up in traffic? Is it just a delay at the supply shop? Are they coming soon? Here is where the trucks are. I'll show you. And again, 2 or 3 days. This started on August 31st. It is now September 6th. I haven't seen anything to verify one way or the other, not one news piece, no real footage. This is the first real footage I've seen. And when I saw this yesterday, I was like, ooh, it got out. Like, because everything I've heard is anything that looks like this is scrubbed, like before you can actually watch it. So here is where the trucks are. Instead of making their deliveries, they're parked on the side of the road, of the highway.
So I'm coming off Clothiers Creek Road, and the police have told me that there's a bad accident, but the funny thing is it's just trucks that's backed up and no cars. And these trucks are backed up for quite a while, all on the side. So it's truck after truck after truck after truck. So it just hasn't stopped. I can't really see a car in sight though, because it's all trucks. So unless they're lying and telling us something else, not entirely sure. It's just truck after truck after truck after truck, backed up. A lot of them are on the side here. It just hasn't stopped.
That's a long line of trucks. So the truckies are not making their deliveries. They're sitting on the side of the road. They said they're going to bring the country back to governance, back to governance by the people. This isn't your country. This is our country, right? What if they don't blink, right? Like, this is a little bit of a game of chicken, right? We're going to starve out the population to put pressure on the politicians and to starve them out too. But the more desperate the population becomes, the more desperate they put pressure on the politicians to do what the truckies want, right? And so it's an interesting situation. Who's going to blink first? And it's almost not a matter of that, because the public knows that the truckies are against the government, against what the government is doing with vaccine passports, etc. So do the public support the truckies, right? The media blackout tells me probably, right? I don't know. What if this is part of the plan? Like, what if this is just the next part of the plan? Like the collapse of the supply chain, and they just say, okay, great. Like, we've just accelerated this. Now, I put this out. I thought maybe if it's working there, and it is working there to a certain degree. There's a person who, hold on. Here's what I wanted to show you first. Wrong one. This one. This is Malcolm Roberts. He's an Australian senator, and I've just queued it up. I'm going to show you about 40 seconds of this, but there. This is having an impact. People are talking out about this in a way maybe they wouldn't have otherwise, right? This has been less than a week. Here's a short clip from this. Here we go.
Make a mockery of 120 years of legislation, 800 years of common law. Both pieces of legislation are being used in ways never put to the people. Together, these acts trespass unreasonably on the rights and liberties of everyday Australians. No parliament that wishes to call itself a democracy can grant indefinite, absolute and unscrutinised power. State premiers have entered into a COVID arms race with each other, leaving Australians trapped in the middle of the crossfire. Huge increases in suicide attempts, children phoning helplines in unprecedented numbers and small businesses in ruins. And what created this? Federal Parliament's failure to hold the line against fear and misuse of power. Emergency should mean a dissolution of rights. Should not mean a dissolution of rights, especially when a state of emergency can be stretched out for months, years, or even indefinitely. COVID policy has turned into a parallel legal system, embraced by a Prime Minister who has encouraged health orders that permanently alter the landscape of work and travel. Death has become a matter of politics and mismanagement, used to prevent the sacred freedom to assemble and protest peacefully.
So, I mean, he could be talking about Canada there. Easily, right? And there's more to this. So people are speaking out against what's happening in Australia. This is garnering some kind of response. People are putting pressure on the people, the government, who's making these draconian decisions in spite of the science. And I showed you yesterday that with the vaccine in 2021, we have more cases, more deaths, and more hospitalizations than we did without the vaccine in 2020. How is it helping? Please explain this. So I said, what happens when essential services start telling the government that the government is the risk? What happens if the essential services refuse to return to work until the governor or the governance is given back to the people? How long would it take before resignations? And I said, to be clear, I'm saying the truckers, the doctors, the nurses, the teachers, the grocers, everyone who the government told us was essential. They say, we will not work with you in Queen's Park. Resign now, we won't go back to work until you resign. And then if they resign, then we have an election. And what happens then, right? So what is the exit strategy for Ontario when there is there a viable other party? Is there a viable third party to vote for? I don't know. I really don't know. I know New Blue, people say New Blue. Maybe. Do they have candidates yet? It's less than a year. No candidates? Right? I'd love to get behind somebody. I'd love to say, yes, these people are great. Who knows? I haven't heard of somebody viable yet. Adam Brooks says, Australia, this is the zero COVID policy cultists being educated right now. This is the Australian cases are going up. COVID zero, everyone. Why are we doing so much worse with vaccines in play? Why are we doing so much worse with masking and social distancing and all of this other stuff? Why is it so much worse? It doesn't make any sense. If all of this stuff worked, then it wouldn't be, we wouldn't have those case increases. July 21st, 2021, then Ontario Science Table member Dr. Stahl co-writes scientific paper finding no evidence that vaccine passports impact COVID transmission rates. August 31st, 2021, now Star Liberal candidate Dr. Stahl claims not adopting vaccine passports is to reject science. Very interesting, right? They're pushing vaccine passports. Do we want vaccine passports? How do you stand up in a united way to say no? The Truckies did it, and they did it in a way that is nonviolent, right? We're just not gonna, we're on strike, and I don't know if their terms are clear. They want the governance returned to the people. I don't know if that's clear. How do you talk, like, if Ontario goes on strike and says, we want you out, how are the terms negotiated? Right? Like, does the entire government get dissolved and then those people are not up for re-election except for Roman Baber, like, and Randy Hillier, right? Like, I don't know, the terms are going to be muddy. And that's what I found about, the Trekkies campaign, right? It's a very difficult thing to negotiate. Who's their spokesperson? And I'm sure that there will be, somebody will be made apparent. But I mean, we're in uncharted territory and the lines are being more clearly drawn, right? Here, I'll show you the more clearly drawn lines, okay? Vaccine passports being enthusiastically encouraged by Liberal candidates, like the Liberal candidates are relevant at all. They're not. Remember when Kathleen Wynne said 7 days before the election, I know I'm not gonna win, but please don't give Doug Ford his majority. We're in that kind of hatred territory in Ontario. And I don't know about the rest of Canada, and I don't know about the other ballot initiatives, but Justin Trudeau, and I'm going to show you footage of it, every time he shows his face in public, he's hounded by protesters. In fact, there's more protesters and more PPC signs than I've seen, like, ever around the most recent one, the video I'm going to show you in just a minute. But first, vaccine passports. The protests against the vaccine passports do not work in favor for the Liberals. The Liberals are trying to demonize these people. Most rational thinking people that I know support no vaccine passports. The people who want vaccine passports are the people who are in the key areas saying, oh, well, safety, safety, safety. And you're like, what about Florida? What about Sweden? What about Texas? What about all these places? What about all of the United States that's normal? What about Japan that's normal? And yes, I watched some Corbett report because people are giving me heck for still listening to X-22. I haven't actually listened to X-22 in a while, but regardless. Here is vaccine passports for Yorkdale Food Court. Okay, how hard is it going to be to move the little flimsy sign you're about to see to the front door? That was talked about yesterday on the kitchen table talk. So how long, right? How long before your little flimsy sign with a little QR code is now at the front door and there's a burly security guard there who says, no, you can't come in here. And now you're used to it because you got used to it going into the food court, right? Do you think that the Yorkdale is going to be very busy with unvaccinated people for the Christmas season, right? Here we go. Oh, is it nuts? There's no sound.
I can't stand seeing kids unmasked. I just can't. Yeah. Blocking their oxygen intake.
I agree with you.
Can't stand it.
It is. It's crazy.
So, I'm now coming up to it. All right, so we're almost there.
This guy's got an epic beard. I love it.
For those of you that just tuned in, we're about to show you what the world has come to. All right, you ready? This is something a lot of you, a lot of people out there call this crazy thing. All right?
You have to go over to
here we go. All right? You must get
to do this. To actually get food.
Now, here we go. This is how you enter the food court to get an essential, which is, let's read this together, everyone. How to enter the food court. Reserve your spot in line by scanning the QR code below. Continue to shop until you receive
it's your turn
message. Show your message to the food court host. Now, where is this going, everyone?
The food court host. Can you imagine applying for that job? Like, you got the sunglasses and you're like, hello, are you the food court host? Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sure. Also known as the security guard, right? Oh, the food court host's got that guy. He was unvaccinated. Don't worry, honey. Don't look at him. He's dirty. He's unvaccinated. Right? Like, are you kidding? Are you kidding me? Wow. Yeah. So, and I mean, I the guy's video starts with I can't believe what the world's come to, you know, with regards to masking kids. And then he goes on to show us QR codes for access to the food court. Idiocracy didn't even. Sorry, that was too loud. Apologies. Idiocracy didn't even go that far, right? Idiocracy had a world full of idiots. Now we've got tyrannical idiots, right? Like if Not Sure had shown up in this world, he would be denied access. He'd be like, oh, I'm hungry. I'd like a, you know, I'd like a whatever burger. But he'd be denied access, right? He'd have to first prove his vaccination status before he could use those interactive machines that got him in so much trouble, or the hooker who followed him. This is Idiocracy, just in case you're not sure. This is not where we want to go. Australia is taking back their country. What do we do, right? Like, there has to be something to do in Canada to stop this madness. I don't want to fall in the trap that COVID set as well. Like, doing something must be better than doing nothing, so we have to do something even if it's imperfect. And that's provably been the wrong situation. We should never have locked down. We should never have rushed ahead with the vaccine. So it's possible that a strike situation would be a bad move instead of a good move. Australia is workshopping it. Is it a good move? I honestly don't know. But it seems like there should be something. There should be some way to push back. Here's something. Here's something that people are doing for sure. Here's Montreal. Montreal, Quebec, 19 hours ago, against the mandatory domestic vaccine passes that were rolled out on September 1st. Here's the Montreal protest. Does this seem like peacetime to you? Does this seem like it's not coming to your area soon? This is being pushed top down, okay? This is being pushed federal, provincial, municipal, and eventually there's going to be pressure on the people who govern you if you haven't seen that already. And I think probably everybody's seen that. This is coming because the politicians aren't listening to the usual speech of the citizens, the usual ways they would engage. Barbara was talking about yesterday on the Kitchen Table Talk about how she sends emails and then, you know, they're always polite and they get back to her. That's better than me, I guess. But they don't actually solve any problems. They don't actually engage with any of the issues. They're just doing what they're doing, right? The blitzkrieg attack continues. So this is coming. This is coming. Is it going to be effective? It hasn't been effective in France yet. Here we go. That's a lot of people, right? That's a lot of people and very enthusiastic. I mean, but we're seeing this across the world, right? 230,000 in Amsterdam. Looks similar, right? If people can do that, if people can do this to protest and it's safe enough, right? Why can't regular society be back to normal, right? Did you guys see the college football jump around thing? I think it was jump around. And it was like, I don't know, 100,000 people in a stadium, maybe 70,000 people. I don't know. It looked like 100,000. It looked like a lot of people. And they were all like waiting for this jump around to come on. And it came on and they all jumped around. And fine, right? Like, great. Good for them. I'm glad that they're back to normal. I think it's crazy that we're in a draconian backwards, like, it's like we live behind the Iron Curtain, right? And we're like, oh yeah, those people don't understand how the world really is. It's really dangerous out there. I hope they don't die. You know, like, right? And if your boss says that, you have to be like, I hope they don't die. Like, it's so terrible. It's so terrible. I'm glad that there are still places that you don't have to play those games, or you can just focus on the work or something. But man, like, the world's gone crazy. The world is really, really focused on the wrong things consistently. This was St. George's Square in Glasgow. There's no video of this one. The rainbow flag is confusing to me. But everybody else, like, they're all there for various things. But yeah, the rainbow flag. That guy's maybe doesn't understand what the protest is about. Possibly more than 60,000 in the streets of Amsterdam. I think it was more than that. So the other one, 230,000 in Amsterdam, it said, but whatever. Who knows? This is Vancouver 15 hours ago. I think this was posted 15 hours ago. I don't think this was 15 hours ago, but another lots of people. But look at how, like, the infrastructure we've built is so massive that this is a large crowd of protesters. And I don't know what I've done here. Okay, so this is a large crowd of protesters, and the infrastructure just makes it look tiny. I mean, not tiny, I guess, but not as impressive as it would look if it was like surrounding a central building in like a town 100 years ago, right? Like in Vancouver 100 years ago, this would look like, I guess the population would be much different. But still, the infrastructure, the giant roadways we've got make this look like not that big a protest. But it is a big protest. Here we go. Not that I didn't think Canadians had it in them, right? I'm glad to see it. I'm glad to see the protests are happening and people are upset, and it's very clear they're upset. Here is Israel. Israeli deaths are lower, I guess. If you map the deaths to this chart, like if you map the deaths to the cases, the deaths in this wave, the deaths in the last wave are less than the deaths in the second wave, I guess. So that's something. But Legal Leaks says Israel prepares to roll out its fourth dose, latest data shows a huge spike in new cases despite having the highest vaccination rate in the world, while raising concerns about ADE. ADE is antibody-dependent enhancement. So you get an antibody and then it makes the next exposure that much worse. It's like what happens with the dengue fever vaccine. It's why they can't use a vaccine against the dengue fever, because if you get the wild variant, it's way, way worse and like could be deadly and blah, 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 blah. So that's concerning. And again, I've talked about this over the last couple of days, with cases being worse and deaths being worse and hospitalizations being worse, how is this vaccine the exit strategy? It doesn't seem to map well to me. Here's Joe Warmington. He says more than 10,000 cases diagnosed in a fourth day in a row in the Jerusalem Times. Cases aren't the only metric, but that seems to be what the news is interested in. Like I said, it took me a few days to dig into the Ontario numbers because it's the end of summer and, you know, things are crazy, man. It's Labor Day, right? It's Labor Day weekend. The literal last day of summer. So I have a McDonald's lunch date. It's very important. But all of that busyness aside, the cases are not the only metric, but all of the metrics seem much worse now that we've got a lot of the population vaccinated. It doesn't matter if it's Florida. Florida's got 50% double jabbed. Their cases are increasing. It doesn't matter if it's everywhere, Ontario, Jerusalem, right? Like, so I would love, and I don't know why this is happening. Who knows? I'm just a guy, right? But I would love somebody to explain to me how last year they said the vaccine is the exit strategy. It's going to reduce hospitalizations. It's going to reduce deaths. It's going to reduce the number of people who need to go to the hospital. And then a year later, we've got more cases, more deaths, more hospitalizations. So has it meaningfully reduced that? And they say, oh, the Delta variant's so much worse. But they're still pushing the vaccine for the Delta variant, saying that it's better if you have it than if you don't. But they're not digging into the ADE stuff. They're not digging into the MERX chicken disease and the enhancement of the ability of the virus to mutate within the chickens and then create a deadly variant to unvaccinated birds. I don't know how all of this maps. I don't know how all of it is intertwined. But it seems to me when they said this will help with reducing hospitalizations and cases and will reduce the symptoms and like you'll feel a lot better and you'll be well protected. That doesn't seem to be happening. And nobody seems to really want to be talking about that. And that to me seems really strange, right? Unless like they don't want to talk about it because like they know the answer and it's the answer that we've all been speculating and they don't want to just say it because then the game's up, right? Like, anyway, Cat Turd says, okay, I'm just a dumb cat turd. Yeah, right, me too, right? So am I understanding this correctly? Israel has the highest percentage of vaccinated population in the world. Result, Israel now has the highest number of new COVID cases in the world. Their solution, get a third and fourth jab. Did I miss anything? right? India, don't look at those India curves, because if you look at those India curves, you will realize that ivermectin does a great job at reducing the everything. Should I show you the Indian curve? I've shown you this like the last couple of days. I'll show it again. Hold on. All right. You can see India on the left with ivermectin starting in, I think it was early May. Late April, early May. And then you see the drop off in deaths. And in Israel, you've got both double jabbed. You've got, I saw 60% is the rate in Israel. But I'd heard that they were the most jabbed in history or in the world. But they were the first, but not most jabbed in the world. Anyway, they're trying to roll out the third and fourth booster shots. It's not happening. Right, and it's not happening. They're having an increase in cases when India is using ivermectin and not. So, not weird. That's the kind of stuff that gets you removed from YouTube. You can read about my removal from YouTube. Oh, I forgot to add my book link. Oh well, I have to put it on my website. I'm busy. I'm working on it today or tomorrow. Today or tomorrow. Soon. Shocking if true. This is an InfoWars clip. However, there were. Mice infestations, and these mice will like mate indiscriminately, and then have the females will have 10 and 12 babies, and then those babies grow up and they mate, and so like you have these mice plagues in Australia, and they had this idea of a self-replicating vaccine that would sterilize the mice basically, and having the mice rub up against each other was how the vaccine was spread amongst the mice, and then it would kill them off, right? And it would sterilize the ones that got rubbed up against, but it wouldn't sterilize anybody else, right? So this person is on InfoWars, so you know, grain of salt, right? Take it with a grain of salt. It's on the internet. It is what it is. But I thought it was a compelling, like when I learned about the Murex and the ability for the chickens to breed a more deadly virus within themselves, I thought that's interesting. I'm going to pay attention. Not that we're going to know, because they're going to hide the deaths, which they have been. And when I found out about antibody enhanced ADE, antibody dependent enhancement, I think that's what it is. Anyway, when I found out about ADE, when you take a vaccine and it protects you against something, but then you get exposed to the wild version or another vaccine, another virus, it's a lot worse, right? And then you may die. Or be hospitalized or whatever. Now there's checks for ADE, right? And they're saying that these ADE markers weren't evident. And usually when there's a bad negative thing, you see the negative outcomes in the first 6 weeks of a vaccine rollout, according to the knowledge, right? The knowledge, the papers that I've read that say like if something is going to be going wrong, you'd notice within the first little while. But anyway. Reading about all of this, finding out about the way these things behave in the human body, this is worth knowing about too, in my opinion. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. I don't know, but I think it's worth knowing about. So we'll spend a bit of time knowing about it. Here we go.
Now, in 2015, there was a paper that came out, and it had to do with getting rid of mice population in Australia. And it used what they called self-disseminating vaccines. And if you look at how they were made very similar to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine with a replicant-deficient virus that was specific to the mice population. And the way it worked is they had a mathematical formula that they worked out how many mice they had to vaccinate in order to kill off a certain percentage of the population. And what they did is they gave the mice the injection or the vaccine. I don't remember how they administered it, but they gave them the injection. It sterilized them by going to their ovaries and sterilizing the female mice. Then they went out, they were released, and they went out and they rubbed up against a whole bunch of other mice, and they got the vaccine, and then they became sterile, and then they rubbed up against a whole group of mice, and then the same thing happened, and then it kind of petered out. That's the self-disseminating property of this vaccine. Now let's just say we're dealing with something like that. You take I can tell you there's lots of history of us being involved in potential studies about this. You take this potential pathogen, this pathogen, and you put it in a lipoprotein coat that you can put out places, and then you just spread it around the cities you want to go down, and then you watch what happens. And it and some people get really sick and die. They spread it to other people. It looks like it's infectious, but it's really not. And it's controllable in that it doesn't have to go everywhere. It just has to take down enough cities to make us afraid.
Oh, sorry, I forgot to unmute my microphone. Apologies. How do you? It seems plausible, right? I don't know for sure, but it seems plausible to me. And how do you reasonably say, or how do you target some cities like that to get enough fear to get compliance? And I said, I think that probably it's plausible that we're technologically advanced enough to put something together like this for humans. Whether we're evil enough to deploy it is a whole other question. I'm not sure, but who knows? Okay, this one, he shows his face. It seems like maybe legit, maybe not. I don't know. This seems like he talks about some things that I'm kind of not sure. But he says that he's leaving his job on like next week, basically, and he's going to fight this. Yeah, BS. I may not show this. You guys go watch this. Make up your own mind on this one. I thought the second it was over, I thought, it seems like these two got together and they wanted to push something out that would be like picked up like it was real, but maybe not. I think maybe not. Here is something twisted. Here's something that is not acceptable in my opinion. Full vaccination will be required to attend a funeral. Really? You know, the Ford Nation cabinet is full of morally bankrupt ghouls when they insert their pseudo-scientific hygiene theater into people's lives at their most vulnerable moments. These people are sick and deserve to rot for what they've done. Yeah, so if you're having a funeral, you have to be vaccinated because the funeral director has to, if they're having a gathering, check that. Isn't that sick? Welcome to, you don't have basic dignity anymore, right? Like, you don't have, your family doesn't have the right to see you one final time to say goodbye if you've made a different choice than the government wants. Just absolutely bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. And thank you for the heads up. Some people sent me this. I had heard about this previous to this rolling out, but you gotta pay attention, right? It's the little cuts. It's the, what is it? The small indignities that hurt the most sometimes, right? Like, my goodness. There are 4,000 hospitals, or excuse me, there are over 400 hospitals in Ontario. There are about 300 COVID patients in acute care and another 120 or so in ICU, which is much worse than last year at this time. If less than 500 patients across the entire network is putting the entire system in a crisis mode, I would suggest we have a much larger problem than COVID. Yes, this is the Globe and Mail 11 hours ago saying, as COVID-19's fourth wave surges, hospitals face new capacity crisis and possible decision on who lives. So they're prepping again for this triage stuff. Right, they want the same. They want to use a framework to say, if you're not going to be alive in 12 months, you're not getting treatment now. Forget it. Sorry, our little paper here says you're not going to be alive in 12 months. So, afraid we can't treat you because it's not worth the resources. We've got to put them to the empty ICU beds. Why did you close 25% of all ICU beds in the province in the last 90 days? Was it your incompetence, or were you actually trying to precipitate some sort of crisis? So the AHS has reduced their number of ICU beds quite significantly, really. So here's where they were, and you can't see if you look at my mouse. Usually when you've got a chart like this, it'll give you the data, the number of beds that day. So here's like just over 200, so it'd be like 202, right? So, but it says current total. And it doesn't give you, so somebody's broken the formula, the JavaScript or whatever's running this. Somebody's broken the totaling formula that pulls the data of each daily total here to give me. So not only did they reduce, so this is where they were somewhere above 250. What is that? Probably 270. Oh, look at that, 270. I'm guessing 270. Okay, and here it is, the data. Okay, 240, 223. So it goes down, I was bang on, 270. Okay, so it goes down 270, and then down on June 30th to 168, and then they level off at 190, starting from 270. So why would they do that? I'm glad it's not broken. It says current total. I was just looking in the wrong place for the number. 173 is the baseline ICU. So in the middle of a crisis or in the middle of the summer, they're drawing down their ICU beds. That seems wild, right? That seems like if you're engaging in telling people they need to mask and stuff, you would think that you'd be engaged in how many ICU beds are available, right? And not reducing them, right? It seems weird. Question for the government. Why are we so much worse off this year than we were last year? Graph from August 1st, 2020 to today. If masks worked, if vaccines worked, why aren't we lower than last year when we had neither? Again, they promised. They said this vaccine will reduce hospitalizations, it'll reduce deaths. They said masking works. They said two feet distance works. They said two weeks to flatten the curve works. They said all this stuff. And did they lie? They lied. They lied because it doesn't work. Right? And whether they knew they were lying or not is immaterial. Now that we know that it's not working, why aren't they dealing with that? Right? That's a reality and they're not dealing with that. That's very strange. Here is election. Election, election, election. We have 15 days until the election this year. That's a quick one, right? Two more weeks. One English debate, three French debates. Justin Trudeau doesn't want to talk to anybody about anything. And the debate is not much of a debate because the English debate and the French debates removed Maxime Bernier, the only one to disagree with all of the other three. The rest of them agree with each other. Communism is great. People don't deserve their rights. Consequences for the unvaxxed. They all agree with each other on that. Aaron O'Toole, Jagmeet Singh, and Justin Trudeau. And they put out this statement that's like, yeah, we all agree. It's interesting because like the Canadian people, I think, generally don't agree. So that's going to be interesting. I've been saying from the beginning, and I hope that it happens, a Maxime Bernier prime ministership with Aaron O'Toole as the opposition, that would be great. That would be fun. Like, I would love to cover that. That would be super fun. And for the first time, I don't know, man. I think that the PPC is going to have a better showing than we thought. I think that there's a lot of people who are realizing that Aaron O'Toole is not what he seems. I don't know, because Dominion, and there's lots of voting shenanigans that happen in our system. But I did see the Ontario Liberals get reduced to 7 seats, right? From a majority to 7 seats. So could we see that in federal politics? The protests that are happening are blamed on the current government, whether that's provincial or federal. Okay, it's blamed on the current government. I don't think it is out of line to say that the public blames Trudeau for a lot of what's happening right now. And they're not showing up to support him, despite what he wants it to look like. And we're going to look at that right now. They're not showing up to support him. They're showing up to protest him. And it's great. It's wonderful to see. It's so funny. Because, here's him and Freeland in a friendly room. Right, with some nurses and doctors, 1, 2, 3 of them. This is like a Joe Biden, like hula hoops on the ground event, right? Liberal leader Justin Trudeau and Kara Freeland in Toronto to thank frontline health workers. Trudeau condemns anti-vax protesters and promotes his mandatory vaccine policy. Goes after CPC on healthcare. So this is a very standard, this is a run-of-the-mill election campaign stop with a friendly audience. They're just getting some news clips here, okay? And then Justin Trudeau sits down at the table, and on the table it says one person per table. Do you see? I don't know if you can see. Right at this nurse's elbow here. Isn't she at higher risk of being of COVID? Anyway, it doesn't matter. The nurse's elbow here, if you look just directly down, that paper, is there a close-up picture of it? There's not. On one of the places that I saw, there's another image, and somebody like enhanced CSI style and like rotated the picture. So it clearly says one person per table. And Justin Trudeau is sitting at this table with this other woman. And in the other picture as well, he's actually sitting at the table, like he's sitting at the chair with her. So I thought it was very funny. Hilarious stuff. It's probably this camera. It's probably this camera's image right here. Like, you can't see it. The camera that's right by the sea. That's the image that I was looking at. So maybe he wasn't actually sitting at the table. But I thought it was very, very funny because he just breaks his own rules all the time. It's ridiculous. He is using dangerous rhetoric to call out so-called anti-vaxxers. If you have all of your other vaccines and just not this one, does that mean you're an anti-vaxxer? Does that mean that you can read data better than a grade 3? Like, here's Justin Trudeau trying to... This is falling flat, by the way. This rhetoric isn't hitting because kids aren't at risk. It's like saying, you put my kid at risk, like you healthy person put my kid at risk of flu by walking around unmasked all the time. And right, people aren't going there. I don't think that people are going there because they're seeing people have adverse events to the vaccine. They're seeing people lose their jobs. They're seeing people who had COVID have 2 weeks off from work and go, well, it wasn't that bad, you know, whatever. life goes on type deal, right? So the rhetoric that he's trying to push is too far out of line with what people are experiencing. So people aren't going with him on this. Here we go.
We all have an opportunity to get back a little more to normal.
Get back a little more to normal. Sorry, it's very quiet. I apologize. I don't know if I can turn it up. I'm going to try, but a little more back to normal. Get bent. Get lost, Justin. Oh my gosh. Nobody wants to listen to your trash.
Except that those people who have not yet chosen to get vaccinated are putting all this at risk. Not only are they putting at risk our kids who are still too young to get vaccinated. I have a 7-year-old who started in grade 2 just earlier this week. Very excited about it, but he's vulnerable.
So the people who are vaccinated can spread and transmit the disease just like the people who are unvaccinated. As far as I understand, what the sale pitch of this whole thing is it reduces symptoms for you. But the data doesn't say that. The data doesn't say that. The data says something different. But anyway, he's trying to make a case that unvaccinated people are putting other people at risk. And that's just not true.
I have friends who are immunocompromised, who are facing challenges around getting vaccinated. They are more vulnerable. And mostly, all of us, even if we did the right things and got vaccinated, are at risk of lockdowns because of future waves of unvaccinated, which nobody wants to.
Future waves of unvaccinated. Those 12-year-olds refusing to get vaccinated, just wave after wave of them, right? The future waves of unvaccinated? This is gobbledygook nonsense.
Go back to, and more than that, our economy can't afford to go back to. So you see conservative politicians like Aaron O'Toole saying, you know what, we have to put the economy first. Well, you can't put the economy first if you're not serious about vaccinations. And that's why it's so shocking that
you can't put the economy first if you're not serious about vaccinations. I thought the budget balanced itself, Justin. Holy, so what happens? You have to vaccinate the economy? Right, it's got to get its shot first, right? It's not double vaxxed yet. That's why we're having it, that's why it's struggling. The economy is not doing well because he's an anti-vaxxer, right? Just like the economy, your uncle, the anti-vaxxer. Okay, here is Justin Trudeau's campaign bus being swarmed by protesters and they tell him, F you. And there's so many PPC signs here that they I don't know if they outnumber the Trudeau signs, but in a minute they will. Hold on, here we go. Honestly say, I never saw that for Kathleen Wynne. They tried news articles talking about how people were upset about Kathleen Wynne being a lesbian. I said, it's not because you're a lesbian, Kathleen Wynne. It's because you're terrible at governance and people don't like how you've governed the province. Not anything to do with, like, nobody cares about you being a lesbian. Nobody got together like that, blocked the bus and started screaming, F Kathleen Wynne. And then Kathleen Wynne was reduced from 100 plus 100 seats. What's a majority in Ontario legislature? I haven't covered it in a while. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. She had a majority and then 7 seats. I could see the Liberals going down to third party. That would be just, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? Because is it going to be the NDP? I don't think so. Like, I don't think the NDP is going to get those Liberal voters. Like, TikTok's just not enough there, Jagmeet. And Brampton's just not enough. Like, it may be a lock right there, but like, I don't know that he's resonating across the rest of the country, right? There's just the Maritimers. I don't know that they're going to go that way. So people are upset with Trudeau. They're telling him, oh, here it is. One person per table. Okay, he is sitting at the table. Maybe crouching. Crouching. Still awkward. Still awkward, right? Is the intention, right? Goodness me. Trudeau met by angry protesters in Newmarket. She's angry. Look at how angry she is, right? My goodness. Anger. Anger. Here is Trudeau getting off PPC signs. right? Like the angle matters. What is this? Just ridiculous. What an absolutely ridiculous thing to try and make. Like, it's worse than fetch. Like, stop trying to make fetch happen, Dustin. It's not going to happen. Gobbledygook answers. This is about Saini, and he says, new informations have come to light, and so Saini is no longer a candidate. Whatever. It was an issue that made Trudeau uncomfortable enough that, and really, his team should have flagged that for him. But at the same time, he doesn't care, right? The victim experienced it differently, right? Because he's still the prime minister after assaulting. Like, he elbowed that other MP in the breast. He assaulted that news reporter in the early 2000s before he was an MP. And no problems, right? No problems. But I guess there is a bridge too far during a campaign time, right? Here is the Liberals. Or Alan says, might the Liberals introduce a 15% minimum tax on principal resident gains? The LPC won't say what's in and what's out, and the PBO, which was given all the details to cost the proposal for the benefit of voters, says it's all a big secret. So the Liberals want to impose a minimum tax. We already have a minimum tax. Yes, we do. So taxing the sale of your principal residence would be a departure as well. We don't do that generally in Canada, but people are viewing a housing as an investment vehicle. Although secondary homes are taxed, so this is just greedy, really. Mendocino's getting his campaign signs cut up. Isn't that a little orange for the Liberal red? Looks a little orange there, Marco. It's not that surprising. I've seen lots and lots of vandalism. One of the things that I particularly enjoy about this election is driving around and seeing very few Liberal signs in Guelph and seeing the signs knocked over. Like, it's pretty regular. I'll go by, I live close to a 7-Eleven, and I'll drive by the 7-Eleven sometimes, maybe once or twice a week. I don't go driving very often. And one time I was driving one way and the sign was down, and I thought, that's funny. I was driving back and the sign was back up, and I was like, oh, that's a good sign, team, like, well done. And then later on that day, I was driving back again to pick up my kid, and the sign was down, and then on the way back, still down. And I was like, and it was the only one I saw, and I was like, that's right, buddy, signs down. I still think that we're going to see a different campaign after Labor Day tomorrow. I think things will change a little bit, but the Liberals, whatever they do, they're being met with massive protests. Like, it's not or just a vacuum. Like, the supporters, I don't know if their supporters are good. I used to pay more attention to Lloyd Longfield's Twitter. His Twitter's been terrible, but he didn't have me to contend with this time. So there's, like, you know, 6 likes here and there. He doesn't do really anything on Twitter, which is interesting to me, because how is he getting elected, right? Like, who's he really? Is it really just, like, Team Liberal in Guelph, really? I don't know. Anyway, but I have questions like that about all of the candidates, right? Like, what kind of blocks are you really counting on to build your successful election? I don't think they actually know. I think they have, like, a vague idea. The Liberals and the Conservatives have a vague idea. But I think if I talked to the candidate, I don't think that they would know. Nova Scotia Conservative candidate apologized for sharing racist Facebook posts. Apparently before, this is Islamophobia. And all of this, to me, is a big distraction. And this is trying to shoehorn in Canadians are so racist. So I'm just pointing out, this is before his campaign. He was talking about Sharia law and the barbaric practices and things like that, and he was making similar statements. So they've gone through his social media and found these things, and he's apologized. Why apologize? Harper called some Islamic practices barbaric, and, like, not why apologize, but, like, if that's what you believe, then defend it, right? And if you don't believe that, or if you believe that there's some nuance to it, defend it, right? Like, that's why social media is so terrible. I don't know. Like, there are things that people say when they're 21, and by the time they're 31, they're like, ah, that's probably pretty stupid, right? Like, but then you should explain yourself, right? And like, not, I mean, experience says a lot, right? Experience is worth a lot. And so I think stuff like this is, the witch hunting is just not right in elections, I guess. It's another good reason to scrub, and I should do this. I don't do this, but I should do this. It's a good reason to scrub your social media every 30 days. Like, every 30 days, your tweets expire type deal, or your Facebook whatever's expire. Just so, because experience does teach you quite a lot, right? I don't know. Anyway, it's a suggestion. People have suggested it. It's probably a good suggestion. Aaron O'Toole promises to hire more police to fight gangs, gun smuggling. Is it? What about gangs of unvaccinated, Aaron? Right? Are you going to use the emergency powers to grant police extra powers to go into unvaccinated people's houses or something like that? It's very scary what's happening in Australia. I don't want it to come here, Aaron. Right? I don't know. Just saying. Just saying. Here's Justin Trudeau talking about 1,000 days that Michael Spavor and Michael Kovig have been arbitrarily imprisoned in China. We will not back down, Mr. Trudeau says. Did we ever like step up to the plate? As like, didn't Ms. Freeland say, hey, China, call me. We'd really love to talk to you about some things. And like, that was the last time we really talked to China, right? And like, it's like calling an ex-girlfriend and you know she's not going to answer. And like the phone rings too many times and you're like, oh, I should like hang up. It's terrible. It's terrible. This isn't governance. And then they tweeted by, or they practiced diplomacy via tweet when Trump was in office. And I mean, Trump made that a legitimate way to govern, I guess, right? Like if somebody threatened the United States and Trump sent an all caps tweet, like you knew where things stood, right? Like, so when Chrystia Freeland did it, people were like, listen, Twitter is close enough to real life that you should watch your mouth. And that was basically it. And it's like, huh, right? So like our representatives, when they say we'll not back down, could you quantify that statement? What exactly have you done, right? Like how have you put pressure on China to return these people? What about the connection to George Soros? Both of these people work for businesses that have connections to Soros. There's a lot, I think there's a lot more to this. I think people get blinded by, you know, they have our citizens and blah, 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 blah. But I think that there's more to this. Like the Mark Norman thing, it took me, I had to do like a double-headed show, like 2 half-an-hour shows to really understand what was going on with Mark Norman as it was happening, because the news was just telling me what to think about it, not telling me what was happening. I mean, it was telling me what was happening to a degree, but it was more pushing you to what to think about it rather than saying what was happening and why he was in trouble, because far as I knew, he built a resupply ship. Anyway, regardless. All of this seems like pantomime. We will not back down. I've talked to the families, blah, blah, blah. 1,000 days in, man, you've lost. Like, we are in a bad situation and we are not taking stock of the full situation. So we can't fix it, right? Like, we don't understand all the parameters. We know a very narrow part of this story and the rest of it is shrouded in, we're really trying to, you know, to fix this problem. When they've been saying that about COVID and provably not been doing anything to solve that problem, right? The Taliban is holding American interpreters hostage in planes in the airport. I've also heard they're hunting down women special ops who were seen as helping the West and killing them. And apparently there have been a couple who've been killed so far. And this was reporting from one of the Toronto Sun reporters. And I thought, that's interesting. This guy asks, where are the reports? Good question. Good question. It would make the United States look bad, wouldn't it? So you gotta silence those. Imagine if the Chinese Communist Party ran the entire British government aside from the cabinet. Could any politicians govern as conservatives? I've got news for you. Communist public sector unions do run the government, plus transport, state education, the NHS, and more. Hey, Canada, guess what? Right? Us too. Critical race theory, gender theory, the new... what education ideas, I guess, crap math. They're being backdoored by teachers who can't teach math and administrators who don't care about the indoctrination of the youth into pledging allegiance to the LGBTQ flag or the Antifa flag, or being taught by radicalized teachers who are pushing trans agenda or whatever. These things are happening in our schools, I can tell you, like clearly. And well, I've got a 7-part series on what was happening in 2020 in my school board. And that's critical race theory, teaching that white children are bad. Excuse me. What they said, quote, was that any system built by a white person is inherently racist because it was built by a white person. So this is in a school district that has a 93% white population. So this is not appropriate. Right? And yet they push it anyway. It's pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. How do you stop the erosion of the culture that was built and that we inherited? At this point in time, you understand what has happened, right? You understand what, orienting yourself to what is really happening instead of what the news says is happening would be a good first step. And other than that, I don't know, man. I would say probably start talking to your local farmers to make sure you have food when the Trekkies start in Canada, right? If the Americans have a sympathy strike with the Australian Trekkies, how much of our produce, how much of our fruit and stuff, particularly through winter, gets driven up from where? Mexico, South America, right? Through which country? It's not flown in, not usually anyway, not to feed the population of Canada, right? Like, we've got a lot of people here. So it's trucked in, and if the Trekkies park, right, does that just accelerate? I don't know, man. That's it for me. Thanks for watching. Check out CanadaPoly.com. Check out CanadaReport.co. Check out SpeakingMoistly.co. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.